Hello and welcome to PHP Alive and Kicking, brought to you by PHP Architect, made better by our partners at Honey Badger. More about them later. This podcast explores the latest developments in PHP and what it's like to earn a living as a PHP developer today. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Page, better known as Mike Page Dev. I'm a developer at PHP Architect. My co-host is a long-time contributor to our magazine, and now a fellow team member, Chris Miller.
Hey,
hi,
Mike.
Chris. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. You?
Good, good. Now, we have a interesting guest with us today, and I'm going to hand it over to Chris. You can introduce our guest.
So today we have a fellow PHP developer. He's written books. He's written packages that many of you will be using. Let's introduce Wendell Adriel.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hey, Wendell.
Hey, how are you doing?
You seem to have a little bit of fire behind you. Is this okay?
Yeah, no, it's this is fine. This is fine. how things are going over there?
Yeah, good, good. And yourself?
Oh, good here. Oh, fine. Besides, this is just the general day-to-day. But it's all fine.
I think we all can relate.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because now I don't use it anymore because now I have to use like some company backgrounds. But before I had this when joining the meetings, and it was pretty funny to see the reaction of people.
Oh, yes. I've done the funny backgrounds. I had the TARDIS in interior at one point. It took a long time for people to realize what it was. So, Wendell, you're relatively new to this podcast. I don't think you've actually been on before. Why don't you tell us how you got started in PHP?
The first time I used it, like I touched PHP code, it was pretty interesting because I was working, I was 16 years old, and I was working in a company in a local town. It was in Brazil, like a really, really small town in the countryside that I lived there. And I was working in a school that teaches like basic stuff like Word, Excel, PowerPoint. So those are the things that I was kind of teaching people, but they had some courses on development, and one of them were in PHP. And because I was working there, I was able to do all those courses. So I did this course on PHP, started writing PHP in that course, and like I think it was 5-6 months later, the teacher that was giving this course was like leaving the school, and then they asked me if I wanted to take his place. And then I had more time to prepare. I had to read more, learn more about PHP, and then I started teaching PHP to it was like to teenagers, people that had like 13-14 years old. And it was pretty interesting for me as well, because I was 16 at the time, and I felt like pretty awesome creating those things, like create a website, just typing some things and seeing a whole thing coming in the computer. I was, damn, that's pretty cool. And at the time, I didn't even had a computer at home. I used the computer only at my work, because I didn't had like at the time, I didn't have like the money to buy a computer at home. And I was like pretty obsessed with it. Sometimes I was like finishing the work or going into lunch and everything, and I was like lunching in 15 minutes and then going to the computer to study and do things with PHP. And that's how I wrote my like first line of code with PHP.
Awesome. So you were teaching people PHP from, what, 6 months after learning it yourself?
Yeah, yeah. It was hard because sometimes not even like the people asked things that I didn't know, and I had to, oh, just give me a minute, and I had to go there and search for the documentation and see something and help. But it was good because from very early I started having this a mentality of knowing how to get answers to things I don't know. So I think that helped me a lot for my whole career, like understand how to get answers for things that I don't know. So, and I think this is one of the main skills for a developer, right?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I love about PHP. The documentation is so in-depth. You can find anything you want on the PHP docs page. And then the frameworks in PHP also have excellent documentation. It's almost like PHP thinks about the community first, which I think is amazing to look at what we have around us and just go, actually, we can learn something and reteach it in such a short space of time.
Exactly. The documentation in PHP in general, as you said, it's pretty awesome. Since the beginning, when I started learning, it felt easy to look for things and like, I have this issue. Let me check in the documentation how this works, or I need to do X or Y, how I can do it. And we can find a lot of things in the documentation, not even going into like forums or those like Stack Overflow or other things, but the documentation itself had a lot of things.
Yeah, and it's incredible to look at those docs pages and see comments from 15, 20 years ago on there that are still valid today because PHP is backwards compatible as far as it can be. But yet we've still moved on massively in what we have in this industry.
That's true. And that's a great thing, like, because people that were aboard since the beginning, it's easier to evolve. And people that are like just coming in into PHP, they can get there in the documentation, learn and see those comments. And maybe someone is going to think, oh, this comment here has like 10 years. But if you just grab it and run, it's going to work. Most of the times it's going to work as it is there. And it's awesome because even for people that are joining in, they can already use the knowledge the people that were like aboard from 10 or 15, 20 years ago. And it's awesome because there are some other technologies that this is not true. There is a lot of breaking changes from when it starts evolving, it starts getting a lot of breaking changes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, PHP does have its breaking changes at different points, but they're minor breaking changes. They're things that are, you'll usually find deprecations are because there's a new way of doing it that is more useful or more type safe or just faster.
Exactly.
I mean, we've recently done an episode with Sarah Goldman from PHP, the PHP Foundation. And in PHP 8.5, we actually discovered there was a feature that was deprecated, mainly because nobody uses it, because I don't know it's even there, which is that's kind of amusing that there are people out there that don't even know that features exist because they've moved on and have been replaced with new forms.
Yeah. And the great thing from PHP, the community itself, and even like if you are like moving some, I don't know, legacy project, is that we also have like amazing packages to help on everything. For example, Rector, we can just install Rector and start migrating a legacy code base to new features without a lot of issues and like all the manual work that we would need to do. And that's awesome.
Yeah, and you also find that people will develop packages for things that are like little itches for them. I mean, look at a couple of years ago, we put out Strictus because you didn't have the ability to have type safety within functions. So you create a variable and you couldn't know that it was type safe. So we created a package for it. And that happens all the time with people. They'll just create a package to fix this tiny little itch that they've got in PHP of something that they want it to do. And PHP makes that almost second nature because of the way Composer works.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty easy to just build a package, as you said, to help with something that the language doesn't provide yet. And, like, really easy, someone can just publish it, and then everyone can just do a Composer required, get it, start using, and that's it. Yeah. And like, talking about the community itself, I see that the PHP community is pretty active on maintaining and creating new things. And that's great, because it keeps maintaining and renewing the language and the community itself. Because it's every time someone creates a package and publishes it and starts getting some traction, more people will start contributing to it. And then it gets like a snowball of good things. And I find that that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've certainly found that everyone I've met in the community have got a passion to keep growing the language and keep growing the community and trying to just help everyone out. I'm relatively new into development. I was a late bloomer, as we'd say. So it's been really nice meeting all these people, being able to ask questions. Yes, the documentation is great. Some of it I've found that I needed a bit more explanation, so I've jumped into a forum, asked a question, and within sort of half an hour I've got an answer and I've understood, and someone's taken the time out of their busy days to help me grow as a developer, which has been great. Yeah. And a very accepting community is how I felt wherever I've gone. So yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah. And that is, for me, the biggest strength of PHP. Mm. Put aside the fact that the language can do basically anything. Put aside the fact that you've got people like Nuno that are writing packages in their sleep for no apparent reason. Put aside the fact that you've got frameworks as powerful as Laravel. Mm. I can go on Twitter, I can ask a question, and within 10 minutes, the owner of that package has probably replied to me. And it's like that in itself is incredible. The people that you look up to as these people are gods will literally answer your questions.
I remember trying to get Xdebug up and running. This is before I was working professionally. I was just doing some hobby stuff, and I did post something on Twitter, and Derek was there within like 5 minutes talking me through to what I have to do. And I'm like, at the time I didn't know who Derek was. I didn't realize it was the maintainer of Xdebug. I had no idea. I mean, I literally didn't know any names I think I must have heard about it. I started listening to Eric and John when they had the PHP Ugly. When I first started learning PHP, I'm one of these people that like to hunt out the community to find that support, listen to podcasts. I have dogs that I walk, so I listen to podcasts when I'm walking the dogs. So I kind of throw myself into it. And I must have heard of Xdebug, and I was trying to get it up and running. I was using it's probably, what is it called now? The Microsoft one. Microsoft Code, is it? Is that what it's called? I can't remember now. The UID, the Microsoft UID. I was using that, and it was like I couldn't get any of this working. And then it's great how quickly the owner of it comes through. And I think a lot of people also don't get or don't understand that. Moving slightly on to, but still talking about the communities, the conferences that we have around the world. And the people you'll actually meet in those conferences, and you realize you're talking to someone like you're talking to Sarah, who's one of the maintainers of PHP, or you're talking to Derek all of a sudden, and you're having a drink and things with Derek and playing board games and things. It's these people, they're not like what you might find in some of other sort of areas of life that I have been in. Like the top people are in a different bubble. There's separation between us as the lonely developers in the bottom, and then the people that sort of make everything that we use. If they've got a wall in between us, and it's like they're not talking to us peasants. But with PHP, it's one of the only communities I found where anyone will talk to anyone about anything.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Apart from politics and religion. We don't talk about those.
It depends how late in the conference it is.
Me and Derek did have quite a political conversation when we were very drunk at PhD Tech this year. But we won't go into that.
Speaking of PHP Tech, I find it brilliant that, you know, every single one of us on this podcast has put in for the call for papers this year. And that's going to be open for another month or so from the point we're recording this. And we'll open that up again every single year. And the best thing is that with PHP Tech, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, whether you've spoken before, whether you're the world's most seasoned speaker, you get to come along and share what you've got with a group of people that want to hear it. And for me, it was my first time at Tech last year. And the experience there is what pushed me to the point of, you know, I've got to work here. And 3-4 months later, I'm now working here. Which that wouldn't have been possible without the community as we know it and as we have it. And PHP Tech, as you can see, they're open now till October 31st. And there's going to be a PHP Tech for some considerable time. So even if you do miss this year's, put it in for next year's, put it in for other conferences. That's the beauty of this in this particular language. Everything is just made so easy for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And most of the conferences, they are really welcoming for new speakers. As you said, it doesn't need to be like a seasoned speaker who created, I don't know, a package that's used by millions of people. It can be just someone that really started and it's really excited to share something. And like the conference, it's open to that, but not only that, the people there are really supportive. So they are not going there and thinking, oh, now I'm going to see this boring talk or something like that. They are like, even that the people that are seen already know what you are going to talk about, you see that they are interested, they are hooting for you, they are cheering for you there, and even supporting you when you're there. It's pretty awesome, and it's not something that we see everywhere.
Absolutely. I mean, at PHP Tech, I'd got one of the guys listening to my talk on how to do event-driven architecture in PHP. He created the verbs package and he asked me questions on event driven.
Oh man, yeah, that's
yeah. I mean, I've now been to two PHP techs and I've done a couple of conferences here in the UK and met some great people. In fact, I met Chris at PHP Tech.
we flew 2,000 miles to meet each other for some reason.
And we live about a mile drive from each other.
An hour.
An hour, so not a mile, sorry. An hour drive, yeah. I have had so many people say to me I should try and put in for talks. I have quite a large fear of talking in front of people. This is one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast, is trying to get over that fear. And Chris has basically told me I had to put in some talks for next year's tech, which I've done. I'm half hoping that they don't get picked, but I'm half not. I kind of need to be thrown in the deep end to just get on with it, and then I know I'll be okay. I have slight similar sort of background like you do, Wendell, where I've not so much with teaching PHP. My background was in theatre, sound and lighting. And before I became a developer, I was actually working in a secondary school where I had to teach. Part of my job was to teach tech. So I was actually their technician. I was doing all the sound and light for the school shows and the exams and the drama presentations. But part of it was actually running a tech club, a weekly tech club where I had to teach kids. And that was a big step for me to try and stand in front of people and talk. It got easier as it went on, because I got to know the kids that came. It was a regular kids every single week came. So you get to know them, and it's almost like having conversation with the same people all the time, which it is. So, but the thought of standing up in front of any up to 20 plus people and talking about a subject where I personally feel I don't particularly have the knowledge or experience to be able to talk to some people that I see at these conferences, because as I say, you're bumping into people that are writing packages that you've been using for years and you don't even know about. So you're bumping into people that write and develop the actual language itself. I'm thinking I've got to stand up and talk about a subject to these people. Have I got the right to do that? And you do. It was very interesting. I think it was Chris who said something about a really interesting talk you saw once of a junior developer that just talked about how they found the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Was that you?
Yep.
So that's kind of spurred me on. So hopefully we'll see. I'll get picked and I'll be talking at PHP Tech next year. I won't be submitting to anywhere else. I'm going to just go tech because it's kind of feels like home a little bit, even though I've only been twice. I was saying to Chris this year when I was there, it felt like home when I get there. It's like a second home to me. It's a really, really bizarre sort of feeling. And the atmosphere around tech, I haven't quite felt it the same in some of the other conferences I've gone to, not just within PHP, but other areas of life. I've done conferences for other stuff. You don't get the same feeling. Tech just felt really sort of friend, like home. So that was pretty cool, and that's helped me, and the encouragement from the rest of the community. That's what you're going to get. You've come over to PHP community, and you're just greeted. You're welcome. Doesn't matter what your experience is, people will be there to help you. People are willing to jump on Zoom calls to help you through problems.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that before. I've had Eric. Before I worked for PHP Architect, I had an issue. Eric jumped on a Zoom call for me. Now, we live miles away from each other. We're practically on opposite time zones, but somehow we found a time to meet and jump on a Zoom call to help. And that's what the people are like in this community. So, yeah, come over. And we have our own little community, if people don't know about it, in Discord. I'll throw that up there. Come and join us in PHP Architect's Discord as well. There are so many cool people that hang out in there.
For anybody who can't see the screen, that's discord.phparch.com.
Yeah, I forget this goes out audio as well. You should be watching it. If you're listening, you should be now going to YouTube to watch the video.
You
see it all. Yeah. Come to YouTube. Come over to our YouTube channel and you can see the show there. Cool. So I think it's probably about time to hear about one of our partners, or the partner for this episode, Honey Badger.
Let me tell you a quick story about our sponsor, honeybadger.io. One time, a customer of theirs had a background job run overnight that caused hundreds of thousands of errors to be reported to Honey Badger by mistake. Like many other error tracking and performance monitoring tools, Honey Badger bills for monthly usage, and so this customer's mistake was going to cost them a lot of extra money that month. If you've ever used a monitoring service, you might have experienced something like this. Well, fortunately for this customer, they emailed Honey Badger's support and received the most amazing reply. Honey Badger was resetting their monthly quota and canceling their bill. This is just one example of how much the small team at Honey Badger cares about their users. Ask anyone you know and you'll hear similar stories. go check them out at honeybadger.io. It's free to get started, and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Don't forget to bookmark it. That's www.honeybadger.io.
Thank you, Honeybadger.
Yeah, so, Wendell, I hear that you may have just released a book.
Yeah, that's true. I released a book about Laravel for enterprise applications. And it was funny how the idea came, because the first idea, it was that I was going to create just an article for my blog. My blog, it was like 1 year without anything written there. And I was, okay, I'm going to write something. And I started writing about Laravel in enterprise, because I've been working for like over a decade with enterprise applications, and most of this time with Laravel. In the company I'm working on right now, I'm there for like 7 years and a half, and we have a SaaS application that's like huge, and we deal with like millions and billions of records. And we use Laravel for that. And then I thought, okay, I think I can write something that's interesting. It's not like an in-depth book, like with like, okay, this is like the ultimate resource for Laravel in the enterprise, but it has a lot of cool tips and tricks and some real world cases that happen with me, with projects that I worked on with Laravel in the enterprise. And I started writing this blog article, and then I was seeing like, okay, this thing is getting a little big. And I started adding like the subtitles that I wanted to write about, and I was, okay, that's going to be too much for a blog article. Let me create something different. And I always wanted to write a book like about something related to development. I do like to create content, but I'm not a person that I like to create like video content. First, because I'm not very, I don't feel very good in the camera. Like here with you guys, it's all good. But if I'm sitting like to record something just to show me doing something, it doesn't work for me. I feel weird. But I do like to write a lot. So I always wanted to create a book. And then I put together some tips, some tricks, some guidelines that helps having a good and maintainable application for the enterprise in Laravel. And that's possible. Most people say like that, okay, PHP doesn't scale, Laravel doesn't scale, but that's like, it's everything can scale. It's just a tool, right? It's just a tool, and it's how we use it that makes the difference. And that is absolutely way to handle millions and billions of records, millions and billions of requests with PHP, with Laravel, with any tool we want. But this book, as I said, it's not like an in-depth ultimate resource, but here you are going to find quick and actionable items that you can start adding to your code bases and get them into a better shape. So that's the idea of the book.
So, and I hear it's been going pretty well in terms of sales.
Yeah. Oh, I was not expecting it to go like that well. I think the last time I saw, I think it was already on 370 copies sold and something like that. Yeah, and like it's amazing. It's amazing for me. It was something that I was really not expecting. Like I was expecting like, okay, I'm going to put it there and. I didn't want to put like a value that was too high, because first, as I said, it's not an in-depth resource. It's not something like, okay, this is the ultimate guide for anything. But also because I wanted to be accessible for more people, so I put a price that I think it's reasonable, and it also has the purchase power parity in the website. So depending on where you're located, you can get a discount. So it's easier for people get that book. And last time I saw, I had like, and it's pretty amazing seeing that I had like, it's not a lot of books, but I had like two books sold in Japan, like one book in South Korea, or like one book in a, I don't even remember the name of the country because I didn't knew that existed that country. and it's pretty awesome to see things like that. And this is another thing that's awesome in the PHP community, because like I'm not someone that has, okay, I'm a famous person that built something pretty awesome. I'm just like a regular guy there that sometimes posts something on my blog and posts some like tips in Twitter and that, and even though people supported my work, like buying the book and sharing and talking about it, giving feedback, and that's awesome. That's pretty, pretty awesome. I was not expecting this outcome, and it's not even because of the how many money I'm going to get with that. For me, it's more than, it's awesome how a lot of people like trusted to get something from, as I said, someone that's like, I'm not very well known, so it could, I'm just some guy, and people still bought this book, and I find that's amazing.
Yeah, and you also maintain a pretty cool package that I happen to use a fair bit. Do you want to talk to us about your latest release? Because you've just released 1.0, haven't you?
Oh, for which package?
That would be the value objects one. I could can't think of its name.
Yeah. Oh man, that package for the details. It's pretty, like, it's something that I started using. Not even when I was working with PHP. The first time I had contact with the detail pattern, well, I was working in a Java application, and I said, "Oh, that's pretty interesting." And then when I worked some years with Java. I started working with PHP. Then I moved and worked some years with Java, and then I went back to PHP. And then I said, "Oh, there are some things that I was seeing in Java applications that I think it's good to bring here to PHP." And DTO was one of those things, mostly because like PHP doesn't have it's not like a strong typed language, so DTOs help a lot with the types. And then I created this package. I knew that there were already other packages out there, but those packages at the time felt like a lot more things, a lot more features than I need. I just need a simple DTO that I can validate the data when I instantiate this DTO. And then I build the package, and it's been pretty cool to maintain and to add new features to it. Right, I think last week, it surpassed like 400,000 downloads. I was like, damn, that's a lot of downloads. That's first time I have a package with so many people using it. And it's good to know that something that I build, it's helping people out there. Of course, it's helping me because I'm using it in a lot of projects, but it's good that it's also helping more people work with it. And one thing that's pretty funny, that 2 years ago when I kind of released the first draft version of this package, I did a talk in Lisbon before the LaraCon EU in 2023, and I was going to talk about DTOs in Laravel because of the package. And I was like really, really scared because it was quite some time that I didn't do any talks, and to be like to get me more anxious, like in the crowd watching my talk. It was like Freak from Spati. That has like, I was like, man, the guy that creates like a lot of amazing packages for Laravel and the community, and even has a pretty awesome like DTO for package right there, like in the front row, watching me talk about it. And man, what I'm doing here? I'm pretty sure that a lot of people here, it's much better experience than I am to talk about it. But the amazing thing is that sometimes I was getting like really anxious, really like nervous during the talk. And sometimes I just look at like at the front row, and Freak was there like smiling and cheering for me. And I was like, damn, that feels so good. Guy that has like, that's really, I really admire his work and Spati work to maintain. I don't know how they can maintain that many packages, to be honest.
How do they actually have time to do anything else?
Exactly. And it's so good that, as you said, like, in this community, it doesn't have, like, this wall, this separation of them and us. And he was just there cheering for me. And when I was feeling nervous, I just looked at him, and he would give a smile, and I was, okay, I can do it. And continued the talk. It was pretty awesome.
I mean, I find it amazing when you think of the number of people that use some of these packages. You literally couldn't fit all the people that have used it in a stadium. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how are we in the position that things that we write end up so popular that 500,000, 1,000,000, in Laravel's case, 25 million people are using it?
Yeah, like 25 million is like 2 times the population of Portugal. So it's insane. When we think about the scale, it's insane. And but it's really great. As I said, like, for me, it's really great that I know that, like, I wrote something, I created something that's probably helping people that I will never know. Probably I'll never talk with those people, but it's helping them in some project. Either it can be a hobby project or a professional project. Maybe companies are using it and are like getting value out of something that I create, and I find this amazing.
I know for certain that there is, or at least there was when I left, one financial company that's using it, and it's being used in a financial company that's worth millions.
Whoa! That's amazing.
Yeah, so I want to just go back on something you said when you started talking about your book and about you really enjoy writing. You are on the same podcast as someone who's got about how many back it like. Chris has got so many articles just sitting there waiting for us to publish. Have you published anything with PHP Architect in the magazine?
Yeah. I did publish some articles. I don't know how many, 2, 3, 4, something like that. I was going to be one of the columnists, but unfortunately, when I was going to start writing, I had some like personal things happening in my life that I didn't had like the energy to keep writing. And to be honest, I got totally like burned out. I went out from social media for over a year. I was completely off everything, open source, social media, and everything, just to recharge and get things set, get things back on place. And it was like, I don't know, maybe 1 month or something like that I'm starting to get more active on social media, open source, and everything. I'm starting to write more in my blog, and I don't know. Maybe Ferik wants I can start writing again.
we're always looking for more articles, feature articles. Anyone listening, anyone watching, you've got something to talk about, let us know. We're always looking for articles. It's really nice to hear you're getting back into the community a bit more, coming back forward. So it's nice that we've caught you at this time. And I did have a quick look over your blog. You've got some interesting articles over there that you've been publishing the last few weeks or so. So I've got some reading to do. I'm going to be catching up on some of those sorts of things. So, yeah.
So which one's your favourite article on there, Wendell?
Sorry?
What's your favourite article that you've written?
That I've written? Oh, that's a hard one. I really liked the one that I wrote recently about Laravel queues, because like it's not that I'm like expert on Laravel queues, but to write this article, I kind of went in the source code and deep dived into it to understand more how it worked, to then write the article. It's not that I knew this from the top of my head and I'm going to write the other whole article. But what I find interesting is
you don't know the internal working of Laravel back to front.
But what I find interesting is that it's like, okay, this is a thing that I want to talk about, and I know some part of it, but what if I spend like some days going into the code, knowing how things work, experimenting, and then writing about it? That's what I find really interesting to do. And I really like this article. If I was like to put what's my favorite one, that would be my favorite one. Now, if you want to get a funny story, is that 2 years ago, if you go into my blog, there is an article that I wrote about the action pattern in Laravel from 2 years ago. And I wrote it and I was like really, really excited to put it out. And when I shared it on Twitter, someone just say, "Hey man, this is not the best name for this pattern. If you want to go, you can go. I think it's in the second page of my nice. There it is. Laravel S."
Oh dear.
And like I was really happy with it. I was not aware of that until I posted it and someone said, you could have chosen a better name for this.
Right. I know what we're doing this weekend, Wendell. We're going to write a package that is called this.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so yeah.
We'll take that down now. Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, it's quite interesting you say that for the cues that you did that deep dive. It's something a lot of people do say. If you want to learn something, one of the best things is to try and write about it. Or in your case, in your earlier days where you taught PHP, you were learning it at the same time. And that's a really interesting sort of mind thing. You don't really understand something to its deepest level until you can teach it to someone else. And I think that's quite a powerful thing. And that's something that John and Eric quite often talk when they're trying to get people to write for the article or talk at a conference or a user group, is just find a subject you want to learn about, do that deep dive, put a presentation together, and you will learn that concept in such a deeper than you would do if you just read it and then just used it in an application. So yes,
exactly. I think that like when like the first thing is, okay, I'm going to read, and this is the first step for learning. I think we read something. I don't know. Maybe for example, the Laravel queues. I read about it and then I go and I try myself, I experiment. But I think, as you said, the best way to really have this idea, these concepts clear in our mind, it's then, now I'm going to explain it to someone else. Because then I do need to understand that thing and know how to put it in words or talking or written to then someone else will need to understand what I am explaining. So teaching is one of the best ways of learning.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. Yeah. That's cool. And one of the other things, just going on to you say about the reading to learn something, I also find I'm dyslexic, so the reading isn't always the best way for me to learn something. Looking at code examples is great, but trying to read and understand concepts, sometimes I find videos are a lot better. And there's a whole host of videos out there for anything to do with PHP and Laravel, for example. So that's another great thing I find with the community.
Yeah. You can find resources in different formats. You can read articles, you can have videos, you have a lot of different types of resources out there, podcasts. So it's picking whatever is best for us and doing it. For me, for example, I prefer reading than watching a video. I don't know if it's because I'm like a really anxious person. And sometimes when I watch a video, I'm always like watching the video in 1.5 or 2 times the speed just to have it finished quicker. And to read, I can read some parts, I can skip some parts and get to the parts I'm more interested in. I really like to see code, like really check code examples, code snippets, because for example, a writer, if I want to write a book, not talking about technical stuff, if I want to write, I don't know, a fantasy book, what I need to do is read a lot of fantasy books to understand. And as a developer, if I want to write good code, one thing is I need to read and see a lot of good code to be able to write good code. So I think that checking code, it's like reading code, going into a code base, it's a great way to learn.
Yeah.
And great.
That's something that I was taught a few years ago by actually a friend of ours, Steve. He said, you don't know good code because you look at lots of bad code. You know good code because you look at a lot of good code. And you don't need to sit there and learn all of the bad ways of doing something. Sometimes that can be helpful, but most of the time it's looking at good. And if you look on YouTube, I mean, pretty much any time I go on YouTube, there's one of five people streaming. It's pretty incredible to look at it. You know, you've got people like Prime. He's pretty much always streaming. You've got Theo, you've got Nuno, you've got Panayapal, you've got Steve, you've got, you know, you've got the Laravel office hours. I can go on pretty much 24/7 and somebody will be on there writing code or talking about code. And every single one of them will sit there and answer questions from the live stream. And I mean, I don't know how half of them do it. I can barely answer my own questions when I'm coding, let alone anybody else's.
Yeah, man. For me, streaming, like, it's, I don't know how they do it. As you said, like, I barely can, like, focus my mind on what I'm doing, my own questions. If I'm still checking, like, I don't know, hundreds of people talking there, I will just go crazy.
Yeah, but be assured, if there's any coding in my in any of my talks, it's not going to be live coding. It'll be screenshots.
Now, Steve, on the other hand, he will go on stage and he will have a blank IDE. And by the end of the talk, he'll have a working application.
It's just...
How?
Yeah, how? How? Man, I'm pretty sure that if there if there is a way to, like, I have a screenshot of a code and somehow someone created a way that I could just click a button and it would execute that, I'm pretty sure that at some point I was going to have an error there with the code and screenshot.
Yeah.
Live code for me, it's, man, it's, I don't know. It needs a lot of courage.
I mean, I have done live code at small meetups when there's like 10 or 20 people there, because that's different. You just turn it into a joke. But Steve streaming to the world or talking in front of conferences of 1,000 people, it's like, no, I'm not doing that. No.
Is it courage, or is it more of the fact that they just accept they're going to make a mistake at some point and it doesn't matter?
I mean,
whereas we're too worried about making mistakes, maybe they just don't care.
Yeah.
They just accept the fact we can't do it perfectly.
Yeah. And that is exactly what Steve says, that part of his style is that he will make mistakes, but you'll see him Google the fix.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is showing his style of fixing it and working on it.
Which I think is more powerful than actually having a video where everything is perfect and works for the first time. Because especially for new developers, that let's face it, imposter syndrome is a big part of our industry. And seeing someone that's quite big in our community make mistakes and have to use Google to find the answer, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It does make you feel good about
yourself. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
If either of you ever watch Nuno when he's streaming, you look at Nuno and you think, you wrote packages that are pretty much in every possible thing. You are part of the Laravel core team.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I see you Google the stuff that I'm Googling.
And yeah.
It's that relatability of, like, this guy's a god, but he still Googles an if statement. It's
yeah, but it connects. It makes this connection with us, because that's if we are going to like be totally honest, that's what the job looks like. I'm not going into my IDE and doing everything one shot. Sometimes I need to Google to be really honest. Like, and it was recent. I usually use like for everything. And I had to write a normal, like, plain four. And I was not knowing what was the structure of the four. I had to Google it to make it work. And I was, man.
I do that with switch statements. I can never remember the syntax for a switch statement. I have to look it up. But I have two screens, and quite often the Laravel and the PHP docs are open on my other screen when I'm working continually. They're just there. So I can always just jump on there really, really quick. So,
I mean, I have, for actual coding, three screens open at all times. The first one is the IDE. The second one is Claude, because I find that's faster than Google these days. And the third one is Amazon Music. And those three, if I don't have those three, I can't work. And it's funny that, even if it's like, I don't actually need to ask Claude anything, if it's not there, there's like this anxiety of, hold on. But what if I need to ask something? I mean, I could just open a browser, but it's weird how we get into such little tiny niches of how we work, and somebody challenges that niche or something doesn't work, and it's like, I don't know what to do anymore. And I remember back to the fact that 25 years ago, we didn't have things called IDEs. We had Notepad, if we were lucky.
if we were lucky. That's
So I think the message is to anyone out there that's watching that we all sit and Google stuff. Every one of us.
Yep.
Every
single one. Anyone you can think of in the community, they will have to sit and Google something at some point. It's not about memorizing everything and remembering exactly how to do something. It's knowing that you can, and the skill to find, know where to look to get the right answer.
Yep.
That's what I feel quite strongly about. I get affected by imposter syndrome all the time, and I'm sure other people do as well. It is certainly something that people talk about a lot. But just remember, we're all human. So, anyway, just to move on a little bit, Wendell, we've talked a little bit before we started recording what we're trying to do here with this podcast. We're trying to sort of focus on some cool things that are in PHP, new things like your book and you getting back into doing your blog posts, which will be great. I'll personally definitely be following yours. What excites you about PHP now in 2025?
Oh, man. I think it's like the possibilities. Like today with PHP, we can do anything, right? We can create CLI applications pretty easily. It has a lot of different tools for doing it. Web applications, of course. Now we can create desktop applications. We can create mobile applications with PHP. That's something that I never thought it was going to be possible, to be honest. And someone went there and said, no, there is a way to do it. and now we can do it. And I think that with all those advances of AI and everything, it also opens new possibilities. For example, I saw that, I think, I don't know, two, three days ago, I saw that it was released, the first version, I think it's not on a stable yet, but the first version of the official SDK for MCP with PHP. And that's awesome. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And like in the company I work in, we were discussing about MCP like for the last 3 weeks. And when I saw that, I say, damn, that's good. This is pretty good. If now, I know it's in early stages, but having an official SDK for creating MCP, it's another step towards having something like official for it. And those things, like, it's what excite me, because everything that starts appearing, new things, at some point they are going to reach the PHP community. It can take more time, it can take less time. For example, creating desktop or mobile applications, we can do it already for quite some time with JavaScript, for example. We didn't have with PHP, but now we do. Took some time, yes, but now we can do it. And the AI thing, now we have the support for MCP already on PHP. And those new things are what excite me, because I know that even that it can take a while to get into PHP, we are going to have some support, someone, even if it's not something official, someone will figure out a way to do it. So this is what's exciting. And new challenges, new things to think about. Like now, MCP, it's a whole different concept that we need to think how to build an MCP, how to secure an MCP server, how does authentication works, how we can prevent injections. Before, we were talking, and a lot of frameworks already has like two things to protect us for SQL injection, script injection. But now with MCP, we can have prompt injection. Now, how this is going to play out in the long run in PHP, in the frameworks. So those are things that I think that's pretty cool to handle, to work with.
And yet we have some amazing people in the community again already looking at that kind of thing. You've got TJ with Prism, you've got Ashley Hindle with Boost, you've got no end of people already working on AI, and that's on top of the official framework. You've got people from outside the PHP community bringing their expertise into the PHP community, and that's almost unheard of, you know, experts from another language going, hey, I'll come and help you do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, PHP isn't running 80% of the web for no reason.
Exactly.
it's a good time to be in PHP.
It is. It
definitely is. There's lots of really cool stuff coming in. There's cool stuff already in the language and even more stuff coming along. And hopefully we will explore a lot more of that over the coming episodes here. But for now, thank you. I would like to say, thank you very much for giving up your time and coming on and having a chat with us.
Yeah, thanks. It's been great. Thanks. Thanks for inviting me. It was pretty good having a chat with you here. It was pretty nice. If you have any other thing, just call me. I'll show up.
Yeah, with pleasure.
Sure, we'll stick a couple of the links in the description for your website and things like that, and your blog post, your blog. So that'll be in there, and your package as well. So we'll spread the word for that.
Thanks. Thanks. By the way, just a teaser. On Thursday, I'm going to post a new article in my blog. Right. It's going to be like the longest article I have so far. It's about the Laravel service container, how it works, it's going to be a nice read. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, by the time this goes live, it will probably already be out. So yeah, we'll make sure there's a link to that article in the description. Okay. So we'll point everyone to that. That sounds really cool. I'm looking forward to reading that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Cool.
All right. Well, Chris, I think it's time for us to say goodbye.
I think you're right.
And I've been criticized for using the word fortnight. I'm afraid it is a kind of an English thing. I've come to understand. I thought everyone used fortnight to describe 2 weeks. So it's every 2 weeks at the moment. That may change in the future, but at the moment, the plan is every other Tuesday. I nearly said Thursday. That's the other podcast. Every other Tuesday, 8 p.m. UK time is when they will be released.
So fortnightly on a Tuesday, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just explaining it in more words because I got in trouble. We've had a few comments about not people thinking we're playing Fortnite instead of talking about PHP. But hey, okay, we'll move on.
That does sound like a fun episode.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll do that. We'll get in trouble. Eric, we are talking to us now when he watches this video. We'll get in trouble now. All right. Well, we'll say goodbye and we'll see you in 2 weeks.